about me. Step up on the scene, Miss Blaney hoes green. Check a boy, Louis V. I'm so fresh and so clean, clean. Stuff them bands in my jeans, slap them 30s in them things. Pull the trigger, let it sing. Then go smoke a Russian cream. I got money blue and green. Drop them racks on double G.
Hey guys, so we got a new episode of the Wantrepreneur Podcast here. I'm super pumped for this one, for our people who are in the marketing agency kind of consulting world. We got Omar here from Remote Latinos. He's done a number of companies, had a kind of momentous come up, I guess, in the marketing agency and in the marketing world in general. So I'm psyched to get into him with general entrepreneurship path that he's taken. As well as different types of marketing avenues and tactics that he might have used to grow his own companies and agencies. So if you want to just give a intro quickly to our sort of early stage entrepreneur audience, of which many are agency owners, aspiring agency owners, et cetera, what's the past couple of years look like for you? How did you get into business? And give me a little background.
Yeah, I think me and you should have started off how I pronounce my name. So it's actually Omir. So I'm originally from...
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I'm originally from Jerusalem. My family's Russian. So I feel like I'm like part of the most controversial countries in the world. Russian, Israeli, and USA. It's just crazy times right now. So I moved here as a kid, man, and really did not come from an entrepreneurial family. I just always felt like school was not the way. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. And around 2018, so about 6 years ago, I joined a marketing agency that was scaling and helped them grow from $40,000 a month to $250,000 a month. First 3-4 months, man, I was struggling. Couldn't close anything. Always had trouble with just the sales part. Yeah, I feel like I'm good at talking to people, but that's just a part of sales, right? Finally, I cracked the code on sales, and we were able to go from $40,000 to $250,000 within a few months, and that was insane. And at that time, the CEO of that company, he's a co-founder. His name is Joel Kaplan, who was a good friend. He decided to teach people how to do what he just did, because most people were launching coaching programs and they were doing 10K a month, 10, 15K a month, one client, some crazy stuff. And we actually scaled to hundreds of clients, super profitable, big team, or everybody's remote. And he started a coaching program, which, I like the idea of it, and I like the coaching aspect to a certain degree. I'm not the biggest fan of the coaching world, but definitely see the value in there. And I went from selling the agency to then selling coaching and also coaching people on sales, since I've closed a lot of people. And started coaching, man. I probably coached hundreds of agency owners and their salespeople and sales teams on our process. It's so funny because my partner and a few other people in the agency space told me that what they would do before they joined the program is that they would pretend to be a chiropractor, get on a call with me, have their video off, and see how the sales process is. I thought that was so funny. It's like the biggest compliment, backhanded compliment there is. It's like, I didn't want to talk to you. I wanted to lie to you and see how your sales process is. So that went pretty good, man. And around 2020, a couple years after that, around 2020, I saw that a lot of agency owners, since that's the majority of people I deal with, struggle with hiring. They don't know where to go. They have no systems, no processes. They go to all these free platforms and they hope and pray people kind of stick. I thought to myself, if I can solve this this challenge, there is gold here, because I love employing people. I think I told you I tasted a little bit of this when I was working at the agency, and five of my friends from high school, people I'm super close to, I got them jobs, right? I remember the feeling. That was like the best feeling in the world, because one, they got paid better, but two, remote work is the key to location freedom, right? I believe you need to achieve location freedom before you achieve financial freedom. Being able to work anywhere in the world first, and then work on growing the business, scaling the business, so on and so forth. So anyways, noticed that in 2020. And then my first company came out, FAVA, FAVA, FAVA. People call it different names. It's almost like how my name is. It's so funny. I didn't even do it on purpose. People are like, FAVA, FAVA.
Yeah, I was thinking
FAVA.
The same thing. I knew I was going to screw that one up too.
Yeah, so. It's all good. And
that's funny.
We worked with a lot of agency owners. I was still selling the coaching program, but I noticed around 2021, about less than a year later, that, hey, there's something here. I love what I'm doing. I love the coaching, but this is what I want to do. And man, since August 2021, I've been doing this full time. So going on 3 years, we have a team of about 20 people. We've employed close to 1,000 people, worked with hundreds of agency owners, coaches, investors. You name it. We work with almost anyone. and man, been able to live the best life possible, right? It's not perfect and still learning and growing, but live anywhere. I live in beautiful Colombia, in Medellin, Colombia. You and I got connected through a mutual friend that lives in Medellin, Colombia. So we got an amazing community there. And really the goal, man, is to help, you know, the first milestone I would say is to hit 10,000 hirings, right? And the reason it's 10,000, you know, the 10,000 hour rule. So I'm like, if you master anything, I want to get to 10,000. So first thing is we want to get to 10,000 hirings. We're also right now finalizing the platform that people can find people. So we basically have two offers, one high ticket where we help with everything. And then the second one is a platform where you can go and find people similar to Upwork and online jobs. And yeah, man, the last few years have been absolutely crazy. So I've been blabbering and would love to answer some questions and help your audience.
Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, going back to that, the Joel Kaplan kind of first experience there, like, how did you get looped into that in the beginning? And like, how do you obviously that was a formative kind of experience in terms of giving you the connections and the niche for your current trajectory. Like, how would you recommend other people find like opportunities like that, or like take the biggest advantage of them?
I'm not going to lie to you. So this is a two-part answer. One, I got lucky.
Okay.
Let's be honest. That's important to notice, because I think people overlook luck when it comes to success. And there is part of that. But that doesn't help you. If I'm like, oh, I'm lucky, good luck, figure it out. I believe one of my best components is networking. I think a lot of people today, they're not networking. Now, here's what I mean by networking, Chris. This is very important. You and I have never met.
Okay.
I don't even know how tall you are. On here, you look pretty short. You look like you're 5'3". I have a feeling you're a tall motherfucker. That's the I always tell people when their camera is a little higher than them, I'm like, you're short. Or if it's higher, you're tall. But
nice.
When I say networking, I don't mean in person. I think it does help. Investing into conferences, programs, 100%. That is the biggest cheat code to figure things out. But when I say networking, I also mean like networking inside of Facebook groups, inside of school groups, and finding digital marketers, e-com people, something that you're interested in, because people are already communicating about it every single day and they're not doing meetups. Like, there are agency meetups, sure, but maybe you're broke and you don't have any money and you can't afford $1,000, $2,000, $3 ticket. I've been there. Chris, you might have been there. But you know what I did do? I talked to people all the time on Facebook and Instagram, and you know, back then it was called Twitter, right? And different platforms. So how I got this job with Marcos is that his founder is one of my best friends. His name is Marcos. He's like my first mentor friend. Okay. I've never, you know, usually you grow up with people and you learn things, but this guy literally took me under his wing, taught me sales, took care of me, man. I've never had someone in my life up until then to really take care of me, even to now. I mean, I really owe that guy like my life, basically. So he was partnered with Joel, and they called me. I was working for Uber in 2018. I was at this house. We just moved to this house in Johns Creek, in Alpharetta. It's a really nice house. My parents saved like their life savings to live here. And I was going to college. I was working out every single day, best shape of my life, starting to save money, but the focus was school and working out. And they called me out of nowhere and they offered me this job and I rejected it. And I promise you, there are people that are listening to this. You guys are rejecting opportunities regularly. You're either you're rejecting partnerships, you're rejecting clients, you're rejecting work, either because you're lazy or because you're scared. And I was in your shoes because I rejected it. And then Joel called me a few days later. He's like, dude, are you retarded? Excuse my language. Are you out of your mind? You're in college. You hate it. You're young. What's the worst case scenario? It doesn't work out. You move back. So the agreement was I have to move from Georgia to Colorado, drop out of school, and I had $100 to my name when I made that happen. And he talked me into doing it. And when I moved there, they basically handed me $2,000, and that was to cover my expenses. Like I said, in the beginning, I struggled. And, you know, we became super close over time, and, you know, he saw how hard I worked and how much I cared. And having someone like that in your corner, right? If you guys are listening to Chris, I spoke with him last week. Having someone like Chris that has had experience, right? Following people like Alex Hormozi that have done it, to me, that is the biggest cheat code, is look for people that have already done it and backtrack and like analyze what they did and how you can do it yourself. So I just got lucky, man. I knew Marcos, and then, you know, I got hired, and, you know, I'm here now.
Nice. You know, after you got that experience, obviously, you know, you didn't just become friends with like Joel Kaplan and all that stuff didn't happen overnight. Like, how hard did you grind at the, you know, when you started working there to like make, your name,
I was grinding,
and create a name for yourself.
Yeah. I was grinding.
Give me an idea of that. Like,
Like, here's the biggest thing.
Just like,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I would say like 8 to 12 hours a day I was available. Was I working 8 to 12 hours a day? I mean, there was no calls and like after 6, 7 PM, I don't know if you're, I'm going to cold call, but I was 8 to 12 hours. I was available and working really, I would say really hard for like 6 to 8 of that. Being honest, in the beginning, I was kind of, sure. I was working Uber where you literally, I can decide when to work and when to leave. You know, I was my own boss.
So,
dude, it was hard. It's like hard. And a lot of people are listening to this. They're probably driving Uber and I drove Uber. And I actually did something really cool with Uber, which is a side note, which is I would ask people when I was 22, I would ask people for advice. And I had a journal and I gave it to them. And I have like 200 people that gave me like advice of what to do. And it was super cool. I'm eventually going to make a book out of that. But anyways, 8 to 12 hours a day. Half of that I was working hard. The other half I was available, taking calls at night, cold calling, whatever. But managing my time and not overworking, because I think overworking is also not the answer. But here's the biggest cheat code, Chris. I promise you, people that are listening to this now or in the future, there's going to be two people. There's people that do this and people that don't do this. Very simple. What are your weekends like?
Okay.
Most people, they work Monday through Friday, whether they own a business or they work a job. The problem is, whether you own a job or you work for a small company where there's so much growth, you can work weekends. Do I say every single weekend, 52 weekends, you're going to work? No. But I actually split tested this by accident. Last year, I barely worked weekends. This year, I'm working much more weekends. Guess which year I'm making more money? Guess which years I feel like I'm much more ahead, you know? So to give you an example, yeah. I worked weekends. I became available. I took sales calls. People pay on, like my mindset was like, people have credit cards, they'll pay on the weekends.
They take weekend calls. Yeah,
100%. So I would say just working weekends, that was huge. And then just having a schedule that is really efficient terms of like, I like taking sales calls, not the first part of my day. And this took me a little bit because when I'm a sales guy, I'm not going to like make that choice. But if you guys have a sales team warmed up, sales training in the morning, even my closer, I don't like him taking sales meetings before our training in the morning. So hopefully that helps. I would say 60, 70 hours a week plus weekends.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that 100%. I've noticed the same thing with me. So we're talking about sales a lot. Are you a natural born sort of sales guy, or did you develop that skill on the job doing Zooms, doing the weekend closings? Like, how'd you develop your sales skill?
Great question, man. So I would say I've always been a talkative person. I've always been the class clown. I've always liked to make people laugh. I'm very talkative. You know, I'm not a shy person by any means. What helped me is my first two corporate jobs back in 2016. So a couple of years before I started my marketing agency journey. I think that's huge, man. I think a lot of people want to get into – today getting into sales, Chris, is so different than 2016. Now that 2016 is like 40 years ago. But like if I was to get into sales today, I'm putting myself out on Indeed, LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter, whatever the case, if I have zero sales experience, but I want to learn, one, I go to YouTube and I look up Jeremy Miner and or Cole Gordon, who have literally their whole sales process online, and I learn and adapt it and role play myself or with someone in my family. And two, I go to a company that is doing pretty good. Right? Sometimes it's hard to see, but you can see from the outside if they're hiring salespeople.
You can tell. Yeah.
And then I would apply them, but I would undermine myself. I wouldn't try to get 20, 30% commission. I would try to just get it for experience. And a lot of people, when they're young, if you have a young audience, or even if you're 35, they overvalue themselves so much where they miss out on an incredible opportunity. So for me, I didn't really overwhelm myself. I was like, man, if you guys can give me a little base, dude, it's huge. If you guys can just give me a base and a little bit of commission, I'll figure it out. Right. So that's that, man. Just put yourself out there. Millions of companies are hiring. Don't overvalue yourself and go in with the mindset of I'm going to learn and then I'm going to earn. Learn and then earn.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I hired that came in with the right mindset, you know, and are willing to take the low base or whatever, but they just they understand that there's shit going on. And those are the guys that went on and founded companies versus people who like overvaluing yourself. It is a big problem, especially for salespeople. Do you know what I'm saying? Or people who are like trying 100%. To win sales where it's kind of like, you have to have that, you know, you got to be willing to learn. What kind of roadblocks came up along this journey the past couple of years? Like what were some of the tough points or the low points?
So the roadblocks for a salesperson are much different than the roadblocks for a CEO. By the time I was a CEO, I've already had 3-4 years of sales experience and I'm still selling a lot of the times. So I would say I'm pretty damn good at sales now. And then, so I'll do two roadblocks. The roadblock for a salesperson is number one, learning the craft and the frameworks of the sales process. Not just calling, but actually learning it. It's on YouTube. When I was doing sales in New Chris, when we started, that didn't exist. You have 30 people. I just gave you two of the best salespeople in the world, Jeremy Miner, Cole Gordon. They have their frameworks on there. And then learning the industry. I think people learn sometimes the process, but they don't learn the industry. They don't even know who they're talking to. They have no idea what dentists struggle with on a regular basis. They're like, oh, we want more patients. Well, sometimes they have a shit ton of patients, but they are understaffed. They don't have a good high ticket offer. They have no Invisalign, whatever the case is. So you need to learn the frame, the process of sales, and then the niche. If they can learn that and the company's generating leads, holy shit, like there's no way you're not selling. That's the first thing. For a, right. for a CEO, I would say the biggest roadblocks is, it's funny because this is my company, it's recruiting, training, leadership. Recruiting, training, leadership. We literally do this all day, every day, and we do this for clients. But even internally, like there's many things that we can get better with, right? Hiring the right people the first time, training people faster, putting people into leadership seats. You know, a great doer is not a great leader. So a lot of people think because someone does such a good job, and by the way, I've been guilty of this, because someone does a good job at sales, someone does really good at graphic design, they should be the head. That's a, two things. Number one, they might not want it.
Yeah.
Number two, they might not be a good leader because leadership takes people skills. It doesn't take doing skills.
Yeah.
That's a big misconception. So I would say that's the biggest struggle with the business is just hiring, recruiting, training faster and doing it at the best way possible so we can support our clients much better.
How was the transition, if you're talking about like the sales to leadership skills, transitioning between like being the head of sales in an organization to just heading your own organization flat out?
How are we doing internally, you mean, or?
Yeah, well, how was your transition from being a head of sales to running your own company?
No. Yeah, man, honestly, it's funny because I didn't want to leave. I was making 200K minimum commission. I probably made close to 300K 1 year. And I promise you, I would have built up for that. Like I was going to make good living, especially living in Colombia with no stress, no team, right? I had my own team members to a certain degree, but much different when they're people that work for the company.
Different. Yeah. Yeah.
Completely different, bro. Right. I'm still responsible for them. I got to train them, but it's so much different. I would say the biggest transition, man, was that I really believe once I make it much farther than I've made it so far, I've come a long way, but I've much more to go. But once I've made it, I really want to be able to show people a blueprint of how to start a business the best way possible, which to me is a few things. One, it's saving $100,000 liquid. That's the first thing. It's like having cash in the bank where I know I'm good for at
for
least
starting a business. Yeah, yeah.
100% for at least a year. Like you should be good with 100K. Like Jesus Christ, what are you spending your money on? Number one. Number two, doing it part-time. Instead of going all in, I'll quit everything, doing it part-time. I did my business, my first business I had, Fava, before.
For a while.
I partnered with someone for 9 months, 8 months. And I was doing it part-time. I was probably spending no more than 5 hours a week, if that, like probably even less than that. But that 5 hours gave me a return. And I was like, oh, there's something here. And every month I would doubt it and we would get more clients. And some months would dip and then it would go back up. And I'm like, so when I spend more time with this, I'll make more money. That's interesting. Oh, if I have the system. So the transition was, number one, I had money saved up. Number two, I was having a part-time job. So I was working a lot in the business after hours or during the weekends. So it wasn't like a huge stressor for me. Business already is stressful. But if you're running a business and you need to make money immediately, your product suffers. 100%. Sorry to tell everybody. Unless you are the product.
That's huge.
Unless you are the product and you're selling yourself and you're the coach, okay, you're selling something that you're not an expert in yet and you're going all in and you have to make money from this immediately. Like your product is not as good as someone that has been doing this for many, 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 many years. Let's be honest. So that's the other thing. So I would say 100K number one, number two is doing it part time. And then number three, man, I would say the one thing that helped me tremendously is a partner, having a partner, like someone that is ahead of me. I got very lucky.
Huge.
I work with a gentleman named Esteban Andrade, who is a 7-figure agency owner, has a brand in real estate investing. He's super smart, super hardworking, great team culture. And I feel like I got lucky as hell, more than he got lucky. Don't get me wrong, he got lucky too. But I got much more lucky than he was because he's just ahead. So he decided to partner with someone that has a lot of the stuff that he doesn't want to build. And he partnered down. That's the reality. I partnered up, he partnered out. So there's obviously benefits to both. So that was a huge, man. That was just like, I think a lot of people try to do everything on their own, right? Which comes to the team. But if you can partner with someone that's really good at sales, instead of you learning sales, I would much rather give up 50% of my business and master what I'm already good at rather than learn another skill and own 100%, but never be that good. Some people, no matter what they do, they're never going to be good at sales. So I think partnerships are a cheat code to like scaling fast.
To everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. What, any other kind of like major lessons or like building out this most recent company, which is kind of more than an agency, right? Like it's not just a simple agency model.
Right.
Like what has come up with that you didn't learn or know from the agency days?
Yeah. Great question, man. So I would say the biggest things outside of what I just mentioned is just like investing in yourself. I don't know about you, Chris, but I've invested literally six figures into conferences, mentorships, programs, one-on-one coaching. I mean, you literally name it. There's no way. And I don't make nearly as much money as someone that should invest into that, but I'm all about becoming the best version of myself and also investing in my team. Like we have a program that we're in that part of it's very, really, really high ticket, but part of their offer is to train your copywriters, train your media buyers, train your appointment setters. I love that. I want to be able to provide my team much more support. So I'd say investing in yourself, man. And I think a lot of people, they're either
are hesitant
spending
to do that.
Money. And, yeah. I think people are spending money on the wrong things. One, or they're financially illiterate, which is basically the same thing. You know what I mean? So I think investing in yourself, programs, mentorships. I mean, I owe that. I kind of skipped over this, but like what was a pivotal moment for me in 2014 when I was in high school, 2013. So the year, senior year, you have 2 years basically, 2013, 2014. So 2013, the first semester of my senior year, I joined a network marketing business. It's called VEMMA, V-E-M-M-A. A lot of people have done it. It's funny. We have a lot of people in the space. That was my first intro to business. Mm. So I got lucky that at 18 years old, I could join some bullshit business, but I learned personal development, all that stuff. Yeah. But at that point, what it made me aware of is personal development. Gave me connections, and I'm actually here because of that. Funny enough, I didn't make any money, but the connections I made and the personal development changed everything for me. So I think investing yourself, investing into mentorships, things like that. Yeah.
Got it. Cool. You were talking about hiring people and like finding the right people. What's your process for like, my issues, my agency, I got, kind of like low seven figures, before, but, one of the issues for me was like hiring the right people and training them. So like, how's that something that you deal with? And also like tied into like, the outsourced kind of agency model. Like, do you see that as a path for agencies rather than having a team in like Atlanta or Miami or New York, whatever, they can build out a marketing agency team abroad?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's a great question. I think the biggest thing is that a lot of people hire out of laziness because they don't want to do something rather than learn it and create a system around it. Now, I feel that because part of me is pretty lazy. Like, I don't want to learn certain things. The difference is that I had capital to invest into hiring the person, so I could do it. But if you don't have the capital, nor do you have the experience, like Alex Ramosi says, you can't be broke and have no time, right? That's like, what are you saying? Yeah. How are you broke and you have no time? So I think I'm all about remote. I live in Colombia. I've hired 1,000 people from outside the US. I think there is some incredible elite US talent, 100%. What I think is a lot of US today is a lot more privileged. It's a weaker nation than it was 5 years ago, even 10 years ago. People feel like they're owed something.
I agree with that, totally.
They agree. They feel like they earned. And then out of all that, they're also more expensive. They want benefits, PTO, all that stuff. Now, people in America, it's not like they want holidays. They want to make more money. They want to do this. The thing is, it's a much smaller scale. So what I like to tell people, I'm a very truthful person. If you hire the same exact Latino and American with same exact years of experience. However, one of them, if you were to bet who is a little bit better, a lot of the times the American will beat out. Dude, especially when we talk about sales and appointment setting.
One-to-one.
The reason is, one-to-one. Culture, speak perfect English, and if they have the niche in experience, one-to-one, a lot of times it could beat out. Not all the time, but a lot of times it could. The problem is the number one, people are finding the wrong people in Latin America. They're going to Upwork and Fiverr, which is funny. There's some good people there, but that's not the platforms that we use. Bottom of the barrel.
Right.
There's no systems internally for you to train someone. And here's a really important part. If you invest into a remote team outside of the US, you're spending less money. And a lot of times it's significantly less money. But what happens is the training and the management, you would have to spend a little bit more time with them. You can't spend less money and also they're well off FM, like they're on their own. So because of that, you would have to invest a little bit more time. And specifically, Chris, in the beginning, I don't say that forever, but in the first 90 days, I would probably have to spend a little bit more time with this person than someone that is based in the US,
more
that
patience.
Understands the culture.
Yeah.
Boom. Exactly. You have to have more patience. You cannot, I'm going to get someone cheap and from day one, they're going to cold call and set appointments. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So I always tell people, if you can, split test it. Forget what I say. This is my company. I'm going to promote us. I'm going to, you know, try to get clients, whatever. Just split test it. Why not hire someone in Latin America and hire the same role in the US and see how they're doing? And then see what is the cost, what is the ROI? What's the cost for this person versus this? And what are the returns and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I had an interesting similar scenario where I A/B tested like Brazilian employees versus Brazilian employees in Miami, which were like a lot more money.
That's crazy.
But yeah, that's an interesting thing. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's like one of the key things where your agency can go downhill is hiring the wrong people. Do you know what I'm saying? And just like not being able to scale based on that. So
100%. You feel stuck.
I think a company like yours where you come in is like, you know, it's kind of critical. I guess secondly, like just we're talking about like saving money, that type of thing. I think also, saving 100K before starting the business is like a really good move. How has that kind of played into your decision, like relocating to Colombia and all that type of stuff?
Was your question how, like the cost wise, like the what was?
Yeah, like why did you make that move?
To Colombia specifically for my personal life?
Repatriate. Yeah.
Interesting. The reason is I went there in 2020 during right before COVID started. We were celebrating a team yearly achievement. So we flew out the team. And when I say we, the founders, Joel and Marcos, and it was a week before COVID. So we got a house for 20 people. Only 10 people made it.
Okay.
And 4 days after we got to explore the city and go paragliding, clubbing and all this stuff, the world shut down. And if you didn't return to the US, you would get stuck there. And I'm thinking in my head, right. I mean, I'm kind of crazy. So I'm like, COVID. Oh, it was so scary. It's such a real thing. I literally thought that in 2020 at the height of this. And it became a real, you know, it became a real thing to a certain degree. And I ended up getting stuck there. But I've never been stuck in a mansion with amazing people. Some, you know, I work with them. I still am in touch with some of them. And it was like a mansion that sleeps 20, bro. And we were five of us. So it was like, I'm living the best pandemic ever. But I knew the thing is with Colombia, I don't know how, I think in the US you can kind of go out, you can go to the streets. It's a little bit less strict, especially in April of 2020. Bro, with us in Colombia, you couldn't leave the house. We'd get arrested. So I literally went 2 months without leaving the house until I left Colombia. But I remember loving it so much from the inside. I'm like, I wonder if I come back, how it would be. Then I came back 6 months later with some of my best friends. And then I came back again, started talking to a girl. And then I just was like, all right, you know what? I was living in San Diego at the time. I sold all my stuff. It wasn't a girl. Let me not make that very clear. It was not a girl that made me move there.
We want to know the details here.
All I'm going to say is it wasn't a girl because it's singular. We're talking about plural. I'm just kidding.
Got it.
The girls, sure. Part of it. But the majority of it was definitely expenses. Number one, it's actually significantly cheaper to live in Colombia than most places in the US. And number two, the Eternal Spring. Because there's girls everywhere, bro. You live in New York. I'm in Atlanta. I can go to the gym today and I see beautiful girls everywhere.
Yeah, it don't matter. Yeah.
It's the cost and the spring. So that made me fall in love. And now we have an amazing community as well on top of that.
So what kind of objectives are you setting for yourself right now? You were talking before about the big things that you're going to do or you're still early on in your journey. What are like the things that you're trying to do or accomplish next 5-10 years?
Yeah, great question, man. Well, right now we are still trying to better our current hiring recruiting offer by having more people sign up for the year package where they get unlimited placements. That's something that we started doing earlier this year. We have about 10 clients on that. So we'd love to have more people. Those are bigger clients, bigger fish, people that need to hire more than one person every 3 months. So that's a huge one. Get better at finding the.
Okay. Nice. Got it. So there's a pass off. Yep. Yeah. Interesting. Got it. Something big. Oh, for real. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Bigger. Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's an interesting predicament that like all agency owners, I feel like, want to go the SaaS path or go like the low ticket path. So you know what I'm saying? And vice versa. But yeah, I totally agree with that. It's like half of them. Yeah. Right, dude. You should be doing it for free at that point, right? Yeah. It's so true. And we deal with a lot of people, and I keep telling the people in the accelerator, like, you got to go. Just do it for free. Do it for, like, low. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't be asking for that when you don't have the proof. And it's better to do it in, a legitimate way. And then after you do your agency, you make your bones, then you can go after a SaaS or something more interesting with your 100K that you saved up, according to the advice here at the beginning of the podcast. Cool, man. So where can people find you? Like, are you doing any content type stuff, or what, you know, if people want to follow you and engage with what you're doing, like, do you do coaching? What kind of info are you putting out there? Okay. Nice. Sweet. And are you bringing on people if we have like viewers or community members in the remote Latino kind of world, are you bringing on people on the team or in the, how do they sign up for that? Great. Sweet. Yeah. Okay. Tech. Love it. Sweet, man. Yeah, we'll link all that and appreciate that offer. I'm sure we'll have get some people to bite on that. But yeah, thanks for coming on, man. And best. This is the Wantrepreneur Podcast.
Are you ready? Ladies and gentlemen, Please welcome.
Now I'm basically starting a new company, which is going to be an app marketplace.